PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Reading Rainbow.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hi. There's something so great about living in a neighborhood. You know all the shops and shopkeepers, and you really feel like you belong to a community.
Hey,
how you doing?
All right.
Hey, how are you today?
Hey.
This is a very free outfit.
Right there.
Take it to work.
No, no, it's not.
You know what you're talking
about. Hey, guys,
about.
How's it coming?
Hey, Juan, I'm thinking of making some juice for breakfast in the morning. Huh? Are these good for juicing?
Yes.
Yes?
But if you want a grapefruit, it's better than the orange.
Hey!
¿Cómo está, bro?
¿Qué tal, amigos?
Bien, gracias. And in a neighborhood, you can get to know people who are different from you. They may speak other languages or celebrate holidays you've never even heard of. So it's a great opportunity to make new friends. Here's a story about two people who met because they were neighbors and ended up being the best of friends. It's called Mrs. Katz and Tush.
Mrs. Katz and Tush by Patricia Polacco. Read by Rachel Bozic.
And Rick English.
Every day, Larnell and his mother stopped in to see Mrs. Katz. Since my husband died, I am so alone. That's Myron, said Mrs. Katz, as they looked at the photo album. We had such a life. Such a life. Her voice broke. We had no children, and I'll be alone for Hanukkah and Passover. The next day, Larnell stopped in to see her himself.
I've been thinking. A cat had some kittens in a basement of our building. Nobody wants this one because she's so ugly.
Oh, scrawny little boobaloo. Oh, I don't know. Then Mrs. Katz saw Larnell's face. I'll take her, but only if you'll help me with her. Larnell promised. A good Yiddish name I'll give her, said Mrs. Katz. She has no tail, and all you see is her tush. Oh, we'll call her Tush. Little Tush grew healthy and strong. Mrs. Katz cooked for her and knitted toys for her. Such a person, she'd say, as she watched Tush play. Mrs. Katz was in love. Larnell visited every day, and there was always a fresh-baked kugel and a tall glass of milk waiting for him. Mrs. Katz talked about the way times used to be. I came here from Poland. I didn't speak one word of English. Myron and I used to vacation in the Catskills. A borscht resort, a place for Jews to stay.
You mean Jews couldn't stay anywhere they wanted? My grandma couldn't stay places either.
Larnell, your people and mine are alike. Troubles we've seen. happiness too, and great strength we've had. One afternoon, Mrs. Cat said, "Since you're almost family to me, Lanel, I want you should come with me to say Kaddish for my Myron. I know you're not Jewish, but Myron would have liked you. You're such a person, Lanel." At the cemetery, she read from her book. Then she asked Lanel to put a small rock on Mr. Katz's headstone. "We do this to remember." When they got home, Tush wasn't there. I forgot to shut the window. Oh, poor Bubala, she has never been outside before.
We'll find her.
Mrs. Katz and Lanel left notes on doors, telephone poles, and fences. They asked everyone who lived nearby. But no one has seen little Tush. The next morning, a loud knock woke up Mrs. Katz. It was Lanel's father and two neighbors. "Is this yours?" they asked. Mrs. Katz took Tush in her arms. My bubbly, my little Katzele. One day, Mrs. Katz seemed very lonely and sad, and she said, "I miss Myron. Passover this year will be just me.
Could I have Passover dinner with you?"
"Oh, I thought you'll never ask," she exclaimed. "Such a Seder I'll prepare for you." And when they sat down to the Seder together, Mrs. Katz lit candles, read from her book, and said prayers. They drank red wine and water. They ate bitter herbs, gefilte fish, and spicy chopped apples with potato pancakes and matzah. The next day, Mrs. Katz yelled out her window to Lanel, "Come, come quickly already. Something wonderful happened." Lanel and his mom and dad rushed to her door. "Mazel tov, Tush. 4 babies. Now you're a mommy and I'm a baba, a grandma." As the years passed, Mrs. Katz, Tush, and her descendants became part of Lanel's family. There were graduations, weddings, new babies, and finally, a Kaddish. Lanel stood in front of her headstone. He read from her book. He placed a small rock on top of her headstone. Then Lanel, his wife, and their children read the inscription together. "Mrs. Katz, our Bobby." Such a person.
Fine.
Good.
I have a Mrs. Katz in my life, too. This is Sherry, and she's been like a grandmother to me, and I love her. And today, we're going to make some traditional Jewish delicacies, and we're going to start with challah.
Challah.
That's how you say
challah
it?
Means challah means dough.
Challah means dough.
Right.
Let's make some challah. Now, challah's bread, right, Sherry?
We're going to turn it into bread.
Okay.
We're going to turn the dough into bread.
So we make challah on special occasions?
On special occasions, for the Sabbath, mm-hmm. for Shabbat, for Yom Kippur. For Rosh Hashanah.
Where do we start?
You can start with 7 cups of flour.
7 cups of flour. So we're going
to
make dough.
We're going to make the dough, right.
If you want bread, you have to make dough. All right, 7 cups of flour, huh? 1.
1.
2.
5.
And 2. And no shells.
Good man.
Okay, all right.
Now we need 4 tablespoons of oil.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Now, Sherry, I mean, this is all a lot of fun and everything, but we could just go down to the bakery and buy a loaf of challah, couldn't we? I mean, why do we make challah?
We could go down to the bakery and buy it,
uh-huh.
but enjoying the smells and the warmth, and it's part of tradition.
Right. People have made challah for centuries,
this, huh? Yes, and we're passing this on from generation to generation to generation.
Right.
And now we can put the yeast mixture into the flour mixture.
Okay.
And then? Now we're going to add about two cups of warm water. So we're going to mush all this up.
Ooh, yes.
Now it's going to turn into a dough.
I love cooking with my hand. Can I get in here with
you? Sure,
can I
come
help
on.
You here? It's getting all glumpy now.
Right.
Now, Sherry, tell me, what is the strong connection between Jewish peoples and food? You always hear about Jewish mothers and they tell you, eat, you gotta eat something.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, I think it was that food was always a very important part of family and tradition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was time for families to be together
mm-hmm,
and to share thoughts, to share foods. It was a warm time
mm-hmm.
when people really shared their lives.
It's like that in my culture too, in African American
yes.
culture. Yeah, we're always sitting around the kitchen. The kitchen is the center of the house. It's where everybody hangs out. It's where all the food is and the fun and the laughs.
Right. Well, now it's together.
Is that good?
Sure.
Looking good there?
Sure.
Okay.
Now we can just cover it up.
Uh-huh. Shall I get that blanket?
Sure.
In the kitchen there?
Okay. Sure.
I'll be right back. There we go.
Okay. And we're gonna cover this up.
Right.
And we're gonna let that rest for about 2 hours. Okay, now we're gonna make potato latkes. These are potato pancakes.
Oh, I love potato pancakes.
Right. And we're gonna grate it on this old grater that was my Bubby's.
You're kidding.
Right?
This was from your Bubby, this
grater?
That
was hers.
Here, you want me to do that?
Sure.
Yeah?
I need the elbow grease.
Yeah.
Watch your knuckles.
Really?
But if you get a little in, it'll just make it a little sweeter. You put this in your hands.
Uh-huh.
And you squeeze.
Oh,
see
great.
All that water coming
yeah,
out?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, the more water we get out, the better our latkes are going to
okay.
be.
Okay, well, we want great latkes, so we're going to squeeze all the water out we can.
Right.
Okay. And then you put it in another bowl, huh?
Right, just squeeze okay. that water right out of
I don't
there.
I don't want to squeeze any of the potatoes out, so...
Well, you'll lose a little bit of it, but...
Okay.
That's not kafala. It's okay.
Not
kafala?
What's
not
that?
It's not a tragedy.
Not so bad.
Right.
Not kafala. I love that.
We're going to put the potato latke batter into the hot fat. Hear it sizzle?
Wow.
But the real trick
is
flattening them down so that they're going to be very, very thin.
Oh, that's right.
Now you're going
just
to spoon
take a little,
it in, right?
Like that.
Right. Okay, now flatten it down.
Flatten it down.
Attaboy, right.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Okay, I see.
It's going to get thin.
Right.
Okay,
oh, it cooks
one more.
Fast, too, doesn't it?
Right.
Okay.
They're frying at high heat. We're schwitzing here.
We're schwitzing. That means perspiring.
Right.
Okay, and then flatten it down right
flatten
away,
it
huh?
down.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Make it thin.
Right.
Okay.
There we go.
Great. It smells good.
Smells yummy,
mm-hmm.
right? Smell the pepper, too?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to make matzo balls.
Matzo balls.
Because you can't have chicken soup without matzo balls.
Absolutely. What's,
that's
our chicken soup, huh?
That's the chicken soup. And we're gonna put the matzo balls into the chicken soup as soon as it's cooked.
So this is matzo meal, this?
This is matzo meal
mm-hmm.
and eggs
uh-huh.
and water and a little bit of chicken fat.
Oh, good.
Because that's gonna make it taste good.
Okay, so you make a bowl.
Right.
Right.
And drop it in.
Just
that's
drop it,
it
in.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Now the dough is risen.
That's the dough we made?
That's the dough we made.
Oh, that's great. It really did rise, didn't it?
Only looks much bigger.
Yeah.
So we're going to get the dough out of the bowl.
Okay. Oh, and you're going to put it on this table, huh?
And we're going to put it on that table.
Yeah. A little flour?
Wonderful. That'll keep it from sticking.
There you go. How's that there?
Beautiful.
Okay,
and we're gonna knead the dough.
Now, why do we knead dough, Sherry? Why do we knead this?
Well,
this
that's gonna give the dough its elasticity, its consistency.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna exercise the dough, it's called.
Can I help?
Okay, sure.
Yeah?
Sure. Push it away and bring it back.
Push it away and bring it back.
Right.
Huh?
Can't do it too much.
So you do it with the flat of your hand. Huh?
Right. Or you can punch it. Get out of
the way. Oh, really?
Aggression.
Oh, I've seen bakers do that on
that's
TV.
It.
That's what that's all
who
needed,
are you angry
huh?
at? It's really done with love. That's what baking Kal is all about. The love, the warmth, the caring. Now, how about if we divvy this up?
Okay.
And we'll give you enough for a challah, and we'll give me enough for a challah.
Great. So we're cutting into three?
Three equal parts.
Okay.
We're gonna make three snakes.
And then once we have our snakes all together.
Then we're gonna braid.
Then we braid.
Right.
Now, is there a specific reason why the challah is braided?
Well, I think really it's because it looks real pretty.
Uh-huh.
But the Jewish people kind of like to think of weaving as weaving all the threads of the past together.
Uh-huh.
So when we braid, we generally think of that.
Are you teaching your granddaughter Sarah how to make this?
Oh, yes. So we're going to be keeping the traditions going on generation after generation.
Absolutely.
And then someday she'll teach her little one how to do that.
Right. There we go. Ooh.
And that's the challah that we worked so hard to make.
Wow, fresh right? from the oven,
fresh
huh?
from the oven.
Mmm, smell that fresh bread. I love that smell.
And there's a special blessing that we say. Will you join me in saying it,
Lord? Oh, yes, I would. I'd love to.
Okay. Baruch atah Adonai.
Baruch atah Adonai.
Eloheinu melech ha'olam.
Eloheinu melech ha'olam.
Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz.
Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz.
Beautiful. And that means thank you, God, for the bread that we eat.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, God, for the bread that we eat. That's a great blessing.
Right.
Yeah. And now?
And
we
now
eat?
We get to eat all the wonderful things that we made. And here's the challah that we baked ourselves. And here's some honey, Lamar, for a
bubbly.
Sweet year.
Oh, this is great.
Just like we do at Rosh Hashanah for a sweet year.
Some honey?
Right.
Okay. Oh, and the
and
soup.
And we have our soup
That's
we made.
Right. With the matzo balls.
With the matzo balls and noodles.
Oh, and the latkes.
And applesauce that we made.
With applesauce, that's right.
What? Oh, somebody's coming.
Somebody's here.
Hello,
oh, it's Sarah.
Hiya, Ketsy. How are you?
Okay.
Did you eat, Mama?
No.
Come on, we'll get your place setting.
It's great to have a bubby like Sherry. How about you? Is there someone like that in your life?
Doreen, my aunt. Because she makes me laugh. She tells us the truth. She tells me what's wrong or right. She tells me to stay in school, and I love her.
My grandma, because she teaches me how to needlepoint and she helps me with my homework.
My favorite older person is my grandpa. He lives in Puerto Rico, and he taught me how to feed the chickens on his farm. I'm very proud of that.
I really love my grandfather because he's generous.
My godmother's very special to me. I can tell her things I can't tell anyone else.
I really like the time my grandmother spends with me. She takes me to the museum, to the park, and tells me lots of stories about her life.
My favorite person is my grandmother because she gives me very good advice about boys.
My mom's friend Gerald because he's very nice and he's going to be teaching me gospel music, and I like having an older friend.
People who have lived longer have seen and experienced so much, and often they like to share what they've learned with someone younger, someone who can keep it alive.
Hand to hand, heart to heart, everybody needs just a little head start. On and on circle goes, sharing all the things you know and growing together, hand to hand, heart to heart. time to time. Giving is as easy as it seems. Try to find that special someone to share your heart and mind and guide them to their dreams. Oh, hand to hand, heart to heart. Everybody needs just a little head start. Round and round, the circle goes, sharing all the things we know and growing together, being together, always together, hand to hand, heart to heart,
growing together.
It's a real gift when someone shares who they are with you. Well, here are three books about people who are lucky enough to have that kind of friendship. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, my name is Jamie Denier. If you're looking for an unusual story, how about one with a kid around our age that has a friendship with a 96-year-old lady? This book is called Wilford Gordon McDonald Partridge. Wilford lives next door to an old people's home. He's friends with some very interesting people. Wilford's best friend at the home is Miss Nancy Allison Delacourt Cooper. Wilford helps Miss Nancy get her memory back. He brings her some of his most precious memories. If you've never had a friendship with an older person, you don't know what you're missing. To find out how great it can be, give it a try. Just like Wilford Gordon McDonald Partridge.
Hola, amigos y amigas. That means hi, friends, in Spanish. I want to tell you about a book that I really enjoyed. It's called Abuela. That means grandmother. The girl in the story, Rosalba, has a very special relationship with her grandmother. A remarkable thing happens. Rosalba and her grandmother actually fly over the city. They fly over the ocean. Now look at them over the Statue of Liberty. You can tell they really love to be together. I have an abuela too, who I love to hang out with. I'm Ivana, and I think you'll enjoy this book whether you speak Spanish or not. Remember, it's called Abuela.
Hi, I'm Emil. I just read a great book about one of my favorite holidays. It's called Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is an African-American holiday. We celebrate our ancestors. For 7 nights, we gather around the table and eat different kinds of foods. The best part of the holiday is the songs we sing. My grandmother told me some of the songs I know. Kwanzaa is a time of joy, and this book tells just how Black families celebrate.
It is important for me to participate in that age-old tradition of passing knowledge from one generation to the next. After all, each of us is a link in that great chain of humanity that stretches across time. And so, today, as a master of the checkerboard, I am passing my knowledge and expertise on to the next generation.
Your move, Lamar.
My move. Okay, let's see. Great move. Well, I guess it's never too late to learn a trick or two. Rematch?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll see you next time. Come on, let's set them up. Who's gonna be black? Who's gonna be red? Today's Reading Rainbow books are Mrs. Katz and Tush by Patricia Polacco, a Bantam Little Rooster book. Wilfred Gordon MacDonald Partridge, written by Mem Fox, illustrated by Julie Vivas, American edition published by Kane Miller. Abuela by Arthur Doros, illustrated by Elisa Clevin, published by Dutton Children's Books, a division of Penguin Books USA Incorporated. Kwanzaa by Deborah M. Newton Chocolate, illustrated by Melody Rosales, published by Children's Press.